Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Amen. Well, how many blessed people do we have in the house of the Lord today? Man, good to see you. Here's what I want everybody to do now, because y'all seem a little too relaxed for me right now, all right? So what I want you to do is I want you to go say something nice to someone you haven't talked to yet. And I'm going to give you about 30 seconds, all right? Would you do that? Go talk to somebody. Say something nice to them. If you have your Bibles now, would you go to the book of Luke? Thank all of you for being here, all of our guests. We welcome you. We know you could be anywhere this morning, but you took your time to get dressed to be here, and I want you to know that I'm appreciative that you're here. We're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 10. And if you have it, say amen. One verse, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, I ask you to just help me to present your word, Lord, in such a way that it would encourage and equip and add value to the hearts of your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. In God's eyes, there's only two kinds of people, and that is saved people and lost people. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved, so that puts me, I must be lost. Well, I don't want you to consider that a put down, because it's not. Because both being saved and being lost, it implies value. It means that if you're saved, somebody loves you, and if you're lost, you're still valuable and somebody loves you. Does that make sense? So whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you are valuable to God. If I am spiritually lost, it doesn't mean that I'm not valuable. What do you mean by that? Well, if you were to lose a toothpick, you probably wouldn't call five friends to help you find a toothpick, right? Because a toothpick is not that valuable. So you would just say, well, I misplaced it, no big deal. If you couldn't find your paperclip, you probably wouldn't call your family in and call an emergency meeting and say, I've got this catastrophe. And they're like, what is going on? And you say, well, I lost a paperclip. They're like, you're goofy. Right? Because it's not valuable. You don't go seek and to save your Kleenex. You don't ask people to help you to find your Kleenex. They're not going to want to touch it anyway. Right? Because your Kleenex is not valuable. Right? So you misplace those things. Would you agree with that? But if I told you that I had lost my wedding band, now, this is more than just misplaced it. I've lost it. And what this represents, this ring represents 28 years of being married to one lady. And Janet loves me. And I love her. And if I lost this, I would probably call some people around and say, look, I really need you to even pray with me about this. Because I want to find this because this is valuable. You understand? Does that Does that make sense? Okay, so now what I want to get into this morning is, what do I lose when I'm spiritually lost? Well, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories. And it's the story of the lost sheep, it's the story of the lost coin, and it's the story of the lost son. And in those stories, the shepherd and the woman and the father, they all represent God. Okay? I'm going to say that again. The shepherd, the woman, and the father, they all represent God. And the sheep and the coin and the lost son, they all represent you and me. So I'm going to give you these stories real quick. So Jesus tells the story, and he says there's this man, and he has 100 sheep. And every evening, he brings his sheep into the fold, and he counts them, 97, 98, 99. And then he's missing one. He looks around. He doesn't find it. He doesn't know where it's at. So the scripture tells us he leaves the 99 sheep that are saved. He leaves them in the fold. He goes out and he finds that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, the Bible says that he calls all of his neighbors and he calls all of his friends. And he says, I want you to celebrate with me. And he throws a party because this one sheep that was lost is now found. Then we go into the second story, and the Bible says there was a woman that had 10 coins. She had 10 coins, and she lost one. And she didn't say, well, you know, I still have 9 left, and so it's not that big of a deal. It's not what the Bible says. She began to search frantically, looking for this one lost coin. And in fact, she invited people to come over and help her to find this coin. She just turned her house upside down. And I don't know, who knows, maybe probably back in those days they didn't have carpet or hardwood floors, and it may have just invertedly gotten knocked off the table, and now it's in the dirt somewhere in the straw floor, and she can't find it. She's frantically looking. She searches. And finally, the Bible says she finds the coin. What does she do? She invites all of her friends, her village, her neighbors. She invites them and she throws a party. And she says, this one coin that I found, that I was lost, is now found. And then we go into the story of the lost son. And the scripture tells us that there was this wealthy man. He had 2 sons. And one of the sons was pretty rebellious. And he comes to his father and he says, listen, I want my part of the inheritance, and I want it now. I'm tired of living here. This is a dump town. I'm tired of living in your house. I'm tired of living under your rules. I'm tired of doing what you want me to do. I want to go do what I want to do. I want to live where I want to live. I want to be who I want to be. So give me that inheritance, and I want you to give it to me now. And so the father does. He gives him inheritance. I want you to play along with me. We're going to update the story just a little bit, okay? So the son takes his inheritance and he goes to Vegas. Y'all okay with that? We're just kind of 2020 version. He goes to Vegas. And then at Vegas, you know what he does. He takes that money and he goes into strip clubs. He starts drinking. He starts partying. He starts finding all kinds of friends because he's got a lot of money. And he is partying hard. And then one day, he looks up and he realizes he doesn't have anything. He's broke. He's broke. He can't find a job. He doesn't have any groceries. The dude is just flat out busted. So what he does is he goes outside of Vegas to the outskirts of town and he finds this man. And this man's like, hey, I'm raising pigs and I don't have much, but if you want to feed the pigs, then hey, it's your job. You got to understand, this boy is Jewish, and Jewish or kosher people, they do not eat pork. One of the worst jobs that a young Jewish boy could have is to be with pigs. This is the lowest of the low. He can't get any lower than this. And he is in there feeding these pigs. He's slopping these pigs. And all of a sudden, after a while of this nonsense, he has an epiphany and he comes to himself. And he's like, dear mercy, what am I doing? And he says to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll just go back home to my father's house Because he said, man, I can be a servant in my Father's house. And if I'm a servant in my Father's house, he said, at least I'll have a place to stay. I'll have some food to eat, and I'll have some comforts that I don't have now. And so the Bible says that he went back to the Father's house. And you know what the Father did? The Father threw a party. I ought to call this message, when God throws a party. Because listen, brothers and sisters, when you come back home, if you're lost this morning and you come home, I'm going to tell you something. All of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Can I get a witness? And so I've just told you the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, what do all of these have in common? Well, something very valuable was lost. It was found, and then a party was thrown. But I'm going to go into the second part of this, because what do I lose when I'm lost? What do I lose when I'm lost? Well, the first thing you lose is your direction. You lose your direction. Now, sheep, you have to understand, sheep are defenseless animals. They don't have fangs. They don't have claws. They don't have a roar. They're just defenseless. And so what they'll do is they'll start just eating some grass over here, and they'll look up and they'll see another green patch, and they'll go over there, and then they'll see another, just another patch, and they'll go over there, and then they'll see a little stream that's very, very smooth, and they'll get them a little drink of water, and before long, they've wandered off and they're lost. Here's what the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and I believe it is verse 6, says, for we like sheep have all gone astray. Even the very best ones among us here, whomever that may be, I'm going to tell you something, you've gone astray. You've gone your own way. Can I get a witness this morning? Because we've all done it. We've all lost our direction. And what you lose when you're lost is you lose direction, because it's not within man to direct his own steps. Can I preach now? See, you need God, and you need the church, because you can't make it by yourself. And you think, oh, yes, I can. I'm smart. And you may be smart, but listen, a sheep needs a shepherd. Because if a sheep doesn't have a shepherd, it just naturally wanders off. You may not understand this, but I've got pastors in my life because I need somebody to pastor me. Because I'm not so spiritual that I can't begin to take a detour. And I need people in my life as guardrails to look at me and say, Wayne, you're getting off track. And you may not subscribe to this, but you do need a shepherd in your life that loves you enough that will reach out there with kindness and love and say, you're kind of going the wrong way. Come back over here and get on the right path. Because what happens is you can lose your direction. Now, I brought a coin with me. This is a coin that actually a prophet gave me. And it's a dollar coin. It's a dollar. And this coin is, if it's lost, brothers and sisters, it's not worthless, because it's still a dollar coin. But if it's lost, it's wasted. I'm going to say that again to somebody here this morning. I want you to know that you are extremely valuable to God, even in your lost condition. Because if this coin is under a mattress, it doesn't know it's lost. This coin can literally stay under a mattress for 30 years, and it doesn't have the wherewithal to get back to usefulness. See, this coin, if you put enough of these coins together, these coins can feed a family. If you put enough of these $1 coins together, this can buy you a very enjoyable experience. If you put enough of them together, it can help build a church. This is very useful. When you put enough of them together, they're very useful. But when they're lost, it's not that they're no longer valuable. They are just wasted because now they can't fulfill their purpose. Are you with me? See, I want to preach to somebody. I'm trying my best not to scream at you this morning, but I want to preach to you. And I want to tell you that if you ever got the revelation of who you are as a son and how much that God sees you as valuable, then you wouldn't waste your life on frivolous things that don't matter. You wouldn't invest in things that are not going to pay a return in 5 months or 5 years. You're wasting your life when you're not giving yourself to God. It doesn't mean that you're not valuable. It's valuable, but you're lost. And when you're lost, you're wasted. Your value is wasted. I want to preach to somebody this morning, and I want to tell you that in God's eyes, you are an amazing individual that He went all the way to Calvary for to redeem you. But when you walk out on God, you lose your direction and you lose your potential. Did that make sense? See, I believe with all of my heart that God made you for great things. And if you went, this is a gambling term, but if you went all in and you say, God, I'm not holding anything back. Here's all of my heart. Take all of me. Then I'm going to tell you, I think that you would be absolutely amazed at what God wants to do with your life. But when you hold yourself back, you're wasting your potential. So here's what happens. You lose your direction. You lose your potential. And then when I'm spiritually lost, I lose my happiness. You say, how does that? Well, we find this in the story of the prodigal son. One version of Luke 15 says this. The younger son wasted all he had been given. And eventually he becomes miserable and lonely. That's a version. That's a different version, but I like it. Why was he miserable? I'll tell you why he was miserable. Because nothing destroys happiness like conflicts in your relationships. And trust me, he had conflict with his father. He knew that he left on bad terms. He knew he did. He knew that he wasn't right in his attitude and in his spirit. And so he had conflict. And that conflict in his relationships brought him misery. You know this, that Hollywood is full of rich and famous people, but they're also miserable. Why? Because they go from this marriage to that marriage, and from that marriage to that, from this relationship to that relationship. Listen to me here this morning. You were designed by God to be in unity in community. You were designed by God not to be an island, but to be in relationship with others. And when your relationship stinks, life stinks. And when you're not in harmony with God, I can tell you something. You may have some zeros in your bank account, but you're not truly happy. You're miserable because you're not fulfilling your purpose in life. Can I get a witness this morning? Can I keep preaching? See, conflict creates a separation between you and God when you're not living in harmony with Him. God designed you to live in peace and in harmony with Him. But when you rebel and you disobey Him, then you know what He does? He gives you a free choice. And He kind of says, like Burger King, have it your way. And God will let you have it your way. Yes, He will. Here's something. Here's a problem. The problem is that because God gives us a free will, we're able to make our own choice. And that works good and bad. It works good if you're making good choices, but it works bad if you're making bad choices. But he gives you that free will. If you want to this morning, you can thumb your nose at this message. You can thumb your nose at God. You can say, I don't need God. I don't need a preacher. I don't need a church. I don't need anything. And you're welcome to do that. And you know what? Most likely God's not going to strike you because he's given a man a free choice. But just understand something. There are consequences that come with those choices. And you know what we do? Let's get honest. We make bad choices all the time. And God says, you may do that, and you can go your own way. But I'm going to tell you, one day, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are going to stand before the Lord. I'm not putting a guilt trip on anybody. I'm just telling you what the Word says. We're going to all stand before God, and we're going to give an account, and nobody's going to be there with you but you and Jesus. And you're not going to be able to lie your way, finagle your way, or con your way out of it. And God is going to want to hear from you. What did you do with what I gave you? Because everyone in this room, you may not think you're gifted, but that's a lie. You are gifted. You are gifted. God gave you gifts at birth. And you know what? He gave you those gifts not to waste them and not to squander them, but to use them in his house to be a blessing to his people. And they serve you and you serve them. And together we're the body of Christ. And we find purpose and we find direction and we find hope and we find health and we find healing. But God will, listen to me, God will allow you to rebel against him just as that father allowed his son to rebel against him. But listen to me, please, there will be no rebellion in heaven. There was only one that rebelled, and that was Lucifer, and it didn't work out too well for him. There will be no rebellion in heaven. You can do it now, but there will be no rebellion in heaven. And every one of us are going to have to give an account for our life. Here's the next thing I want to say, and it's very important. So if you haven't woke up, wake up right now, please. You ready? Preparing for the next life is the most important thing that you can possibly do. Because you're going to spend more time in your next life than you ever will here. If you've got good health and good genes, you may live 80, 90, or 100 years. That's a good long life. But when you make it over there, somewhere you and I are going to live. Think about this, as long as God does. We're going to live somewhere as long as God does. And I just want to ask you with all the love in my heart, what is so important that you can't give it up or you don't think you can let it go to serve and to love God? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'd much rather make eternity and live with him forever than the alternative. And I just don't think there's anything that important. I want to be saying, God, I want you in my life. I want your direction. I want your purpose. So now Jesus says this in Luke 9 and 25. Here's what he says. Are you ready? For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then what? Lose his soul. So let's break it down to 2020. What would it profit you if you were Time Magazine Man of the Year? You was on the front cover of Time Magazine. You had made $1 million. You had gotten all the toys you wanted. You had checked everything off of your bucket list that you wanted to do. What good would it do you if you had done all of that and then you lost your soul? So here's the bottom line. Here it is. All of us have gone our own way. Naturally, we lose our own way because we're like sheep. We've all been disconnected from God. But here's the good news, and I want to leave you with good news this morning. The good news is because of God's mercy, he takes the initiative. Because of God's mercy. Say his mercy. What does it do? His mercy endures forever. His mercy is renewed every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Because of God's mercy, he takes the initiative to go and to do his best to try to find you. You say, well, Pastor, how does God's mercy save me? Number one, his mercy saves you from yourself. Come on, that's good. I know you're not going to want to hear this because I don't want to hear it. But you know what? You may think your husband or your wife or your mother, your father, or your family members or your boss causes you the most problems, but that's simply not true. Do you understand that you cause yourself more problems than anybody else? Oh, I got 10 nods. It is the truth. You say, what do you mean? Because you're the ones who's facing your own fears and your own anxieties and your own depression and your misconceptions and the stuff that you believe about God that's not even true. Things you believe about your own life and things you believe about others. You are, my brother, my sister, your own biggest problem. And that's why we all need a Savior to rescue us from our own stinking self. This is why we all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we can't do this on willpower. We got to do it on God's power, and only God's power gives you power over sin, power over Satan, power over sickness, and power over your stinking self. Can I keep preaching? Yeah, I know what some of you may be thinking. You're thinking, well, Pastor, listen to me. I'm a pretty good person. I don't really need to be rescued from anything. Okay, really? So you have no pain in your life? You have no problems? You have no anxiety? You have no fears? You've never suffered from depression? You've never scratched your head and said, how am I going to get myself out of this? Really? Then you do need a Savior, because you're not living in reality. We're worse off than what we thought. If you're thinking that, because I'm going to tell you, every one of us in here has needed to be rescued from something. Because we're all like sheep that have gone our own way. Come on, somebody. You need to get honest with yourself. One of the hardest things to do is for man to get honest with himself. You cannot save yourself. You've got to have somebody that can rescue you, and you just got to get honest. I know the truth hurts. But once you get past saying, you know what, I do need to be saved, now we're getting somewhere, because the truth will make you free. It may make you miserable at first because you see yourself, but after you see yourself, you realize, you know what, I can't do this by just trying by myself. You cannot do this, brothers and sisters, by just trying. You got to do this by trusting. Oh, my Lord, help me preach. I've been trying. No, that's your problem. You've been trying. You got to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You can't bring yourself out. Can I preach? Because if you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't, because you can't do it by yourself. That's why you need a God and you need a shepherd, and you need people that love you enough to tell you the truth with the spirit of love. You're losing your direction and you're losing your potential, and you're very valuable, but you're wasting your life when you waste it in the world. Here's what Psalm 50 and 15 says. Call upon me. Call upon me, God is saying, in the day of trouble. Here's what one version says. Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. I've said it before, but it's worth bearing. It's worth saying again. God wants to get glory for your story. He doesn't want you to get the glory. He wants to look at you and say, look what I did in this person's life. Look how I rescued them by my grace. Look what I did by them trusting in me. And when you trust in yourself and your own performance, you're robbing God of the glory of his grace in your life. Here's the second thing. His mercy does. His mercy, it recovers my potential. Here's the question for you sweet people this morning. Is there anything in your life that you would like to recover? Some of you, I like to recover my strength. I'd like to recover my health. I'd like to recover my joy. Some of you may be saying, I'd like to recover my lost dream. I'd like to get that back. I'd like to get my hope back. Some of you may be saying, I'd like to get my reputation back. I'd like to get my confidence back. Well, here's what it says in the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 25. One of the great promises in the scripture, it says this. God made a promise. He said, I will give you back, or I will restore to you what the years of the swarming locusts have eaten. In other words, those locusts, they would go in and they would get into a field, and literally when a swarm of locusts would come in, they could annihilate that field in just minutes. minutes just totally obliterate that field. And God is saying, what the locusts of this world have come in and taken from you, he's saying, guess what? I'm a God that will restore. I'm going to restore those wasted years. Can I preach a minute? See, those disciples, they had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. They thought the whole night was wasted, right? They had fished all night hard, caught nothing. Little did they know, it wasn't lost. He had just held it up for them on the other side. See, when you get God involved, it looks like, man, I wasted this and I wasted that. But God said, get me involved in the picture, and then I'm the great restorer. I'll reconnect you. I'll restore you. I'll reconcile you. I'll restore what those years you have lost. You say, how can that happen? Here's what Joseph said. You meant it for my evil when you sold me in that pit, but God turned it around. And those whole 13 years in one day's time, God restored me. In one day, God restored me. You don't understand the power of our God. I'm telling you, God can restore your life. He can restore your relationship. He can restore your confidence. He can restore you if you'll come to him and say, I can't do this by myself. So you say, Pastor, then, okay, I'm getting what you're saying. But now how does his mercy reconnect me to God? Because he says this in his word. Jesus says, I am the reconciler between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I will bring God and I will bring man together. So he will reconcile you if you'll come to him. Say, how do I do it, Pastor? How do I get reconnected to his mercy? Number one, this is what I say often. If you don't hate it, you'll tolerate it. You got to get fed up with your life. You do. You got to get fed up. You got to get sick and tired that you've been sick and tired. Like, I'm fed up with this mess. I'm fed up with this life. I'm fed up living here. I'm fed up with how I feel and how I'm living. And the truth is, I don't even like myself. I don't even like who I am becoming. You got to, first of all, hate where you are, because if you don't hate it, you'll tolerate it. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to own up to your sin. You got to get honest and you got to admit, I got a problem. I got a problem with drinking. I got a problem with this addiction. I got a problem with porn. I got a problem with gambling. I got a problem with lust. I got a problem with myself. It doesn't matter what it is. You got to own up to it and get honest with it, because if you don't get honest with it, you can't get help. Because the fact of the matter is, until you hate it, you'll tolerate it. Oh, I don't like this. Well, you don't like it bad enough. Because when you hate it, that's when you'll give it up. Come on, somebody. That prodigal son got to where he hated where he was. He's like, I hate this so bad. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care if they laugh in my face. I don't even care if my father says, no, you're out of here. At least I'm going to try this, because anything is better than where I am. This slop, this garbage, this pig pen, I'm sick of it. And listen, until you get to that state, you're not going forward. You're going to stay stuck in a rut because you think, I can keep pulling myself. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to get out. No, you're not. You're stuck. You're like in quicksand. You need somebody to help you, and you got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and swallow your pride and say, I can't do it by myself. Whew. I got to admit it. This is what the Bible says in Luke 15 and 17. When he came to his senses, when he finally comes to himself, he said, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. You know what that's called? That's called confession. Confession. He said, I'm fed up. I own up. And then there's the third thing you got to do. You got to offer up. Offer up yourself. Here's what it says in 12 and verse 15 of Luke. When he left home, notice he says, give me. That's what he says. Give me. It's all about me. If I had my life, if I could go back, ladies and gentlemen, till I was 20, okay? I wouldn't want to go back any further. But if I could go back to when I was 20, and if I could have somebody drill something in my head, it would be this one thing. Wayne, do not live for yourself. Do not live for your stinking self. You know why? Because selfish people die alone. Selfish churches die. Because nobody wants to be around a selfish person. Everybody likes being around a giver. And I'm not saying because you're giving them 5 or 10 or 50 or your credit card. That's not what I'm saying. But everybody likes to be around a giver. Hey, you look nice today. Hey, hang in there. You're going to make it. People like to be around somebody that is a giver. They don't like to be around selfishness. This boy was eat up with selfishness. I know exactly how he feels because I've been there. He said, Daddy, give me what's mine. I want it and I want it now. I'm out of here. See ya. Hasta la vista. And I'm going to tell you something. In his mind, he never thought he was coming back because he thought he had it. He's good looking. He's got money. He's got smarts. He's got a degree. He knows how to get on in this life. It is amazing how much God loves us. It is truly amazing how much God loves us. God loves you so much that he'll let you come to the end of yourself and let you get miserable and wretched, let you get in pig pen. He'll let you stink to the high heavens to let you know how much he loves you, all in hopes that you're going to make a decision. My God, I'm stupid. This is stupid. I'm going to come back. So I got to offer myself up. And years later, when he does, guess what? He's had an epiphany. He's had a change. Because here's what it says. He leaves saying, give me, give me, give me. But he comes back saying, make me, make me, make me. His whole attitude is very different. It's no longer give me this and give me that. It's just make me what you want me to be. I'll be your servant. I don't have a problem with that. Just get me out of this mess. Listen to me. I love you so much. I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't hear this kind of preaching in most churches, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. God will get you to a place, and hopefully he's got enough time to get you to a place that you realize you're not all of that in a bag of chips. You're smart, you're beautiful, you're valuable, you can do a lot of things, but you can't do what he wants you to do without him in your life. You can make $1 million, you can drive a nice car, you can live in a nice home, you can have a nice handbag. I'm not against any of that, but I'm going to tell you something. Your life is more than where you live and what you drive and how many zeros you have in your bank account. Your life is all about him and giving him the glory for his grace in your life. Your life is all about, God, what do you want me to do? I want to fulfill my purpose. I don't want to live a selfish life. Can you give God 5 seconds of your best praise? Look at your neighbor and smile at him and say, why would you stay stuck in a rut? Tell him, why would you stay stuck in a rut? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Would you stand this morning? Why would you do that? Why, sweet people, would you stay stuck in a rut? Why would you say it's going to be my way or the highway? Guess what? I'm going to tell you something. God loves you enough, he'll back off. You say, are you sure about that? Yes, I am. Because he looked at this rich young ruler. He had it all together. He had money, he had looks, he had it all. And the rich young ruler came to him and said, hey, what must I do? And he said, I'll tell you what you got to do. Just go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Come and follow me. You know what that rich young ruler said? I can't do that. You know why? Because his possessions had him. He didn't have his possessions. He was owned. And guess what? God didn't go out there following him and say, oh, I was just joking. Come here. Now that everybody's gone, No. Listen to this man that's got a lot of love in his heart for you. You can walk out of this room today and you can say, phew, I don't have to do that. And you don't. I don't need God. You know what? And you may not right now. You may have it all together. But God loves you so much. And he's going to be so patient with you that if you walk out today, you know what you're going to do? I'm going to tell you, and I'm telling you this in love. If you walk out today and you don't know God, here's what you're going to do. You're going to continue to waste your life. Because this is valuable, but when it's lost, it's wasted. You know what I've done, y'all? And I'm trying to hurry, but I'm going to tell you what I've done. I've gone up to funerals, I've gone up to caskets, and I didn't say it out loud. I'd never say it out loud, but I looked at the face of that individual, and I wept, and I looked, and I said, this is a waste. It's not because they wasn't valuable. It's not because God didn't love them. He loved them so much that he'd go to Calvary for them. But they turned their back on God. very valuable, but a waste. A waste, a wasted life. If you walk out this morning, I'm going to love you, God's going to love you, but you're going to be spiritually lost. And I'm going to tell you something I've noticed about people, and I'm trying to hurry, but I've noticed about people as I've watched people for the last 30 years. Most people in their life drift. There was Susan, and there with Helen, and there were Gertrude, there with Bill, William, and they end up, and this is how they live. Most people live their life doing this. It's in a circle called a cycle. And they do good for 9 months, and then they fall off. And they do good for 2 or 3 months, and then they 6 months, a year, and then they fall back off because they've never changed their mind. Never changed their mind. And they're wasting their life, drifting. Because they don't have purpose. They don't have goals. They don't have dreams. They don't have direction. Because they don't have God. Because God's all of that. Here's what I want us to do this morning. I want to do something very different. I don't typically do this. I want to do it very different. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Again, you don't have to do it. I'm asking you. I'm asking everyone in this house in just a minute. I want everybody that would to come up to the front. You in the balcony, if you would. I'm asking you if you would. And I want everybody to come up to the front. And I want you to just lift your hands. And then I want you to tilt your head toward heaven. And I want you to say, God, Lord, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to walk around in a circle. Come on, I'm giving you direction as you come. In just a minute, I'm going to want you to lift your hands. And I want you to tilt your head, because a head hung down is shame. And God doesn't want you to be in shame. He wants to bring you into salvation. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you dreams. He wants you to understand how valuable that you are. You're so valuable. You say, Pastor, come on. Come on, everybody. Come on. You say, Pastor, how do you know I'm valuable? Here's how I know you're valuable. You look at the price of what somebody's willing to pay. You may think your house is worth $100,000. But if somebody's only willing to pay $75,000, that's all it's worth. Doesn't matter what you think. It's what are they willing to pay. That's what it's worth. How do I know how valuable that I am? You look at Calvary. And when you look at Calvary, you see a picture of how valuable that you are. Because Jesus died just for you. He died just for you. And here's what I want you to do in just a minute. I want you to lift your hands in just a minute. And I want you to lift your head. And I want you to just talk to God and just say, God, here I am. Here's my sin. Here's my shame. Lord, but I don't want to stay here. I'm tired of being here. And Father, I want you to fill me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You may start saying some words you've never heard before, you've never uttered before. Don't let that freak you out. That's just the Spirit of the living God upon you. Just open yourself up to that. And then just begin to praise Him. And I'm here to tell you, God can radically change your life in the next few minutes if you'll surrender to Him. Are you with me? All right. I want you now to lift up your hands. Tilt your head back. Now begin to open your mouth and say, God, Lord, I don't want to waste my life. God, I don't want to live, oh God, like I've been living. God, I don't want to lose my direction. Lord, I want you to direct my path, oh God. Lord, I'm coming to you right now, Lord, and I want you to fill me with your Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's right. Open your mouth and tell Him, God, here I am. He thought you was worth saving.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.